Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The text for the sermon this morning, the gospel lesson especially, verse 35. And rising very early in the morning, while it was still dark, he departed and went out to a desolate place, and there he prayed. This is the text. But Pastor, why can't we talk about miracles and healings and casting out demons? That would be so much more fun, wouldn't it? You see, all through human history, the whole human race tends to get religion wrong. All through human history, people chase after the things that are impressive and flashy and surprising and startling and amazing. But there is something that is much more important than the miracles, much more important than healings, much more important than casting out demons. Secondly, we get things wrong because we forget what prayer is actually for and what the most important thing that prayer does is. Prayer is back to the beginning of our relationship with God. And what prayer does, first off, is it changes us. And how it does that is because it pulls us back, once again, back to the basics, back to the foundations. Third, there is an outer life and there is an inner life. There is a life of things and of the world and of our activities and what we do, and there is a life of the soul. Which is more important? And it's got to be the life of the soul, doesn't it? But all too often we forget that. Now, Jesus gets it right. And notice, as all of these things begin to happen, as the healings, the preaching, the crowds, the throngs coming to him, the multitude coming to the door, and asking for him to do things and tell them things and all sorts of things. In fact, Lord, pray for us and this and that and the other thing. Finally, when all of that is said and done, there's a time for that to be all set aside for Jesus then to get back to the foundations, the basics, the beginnings. That's what he does. Very early in the morning, while it was still dark. It's prayer. His relationship with his Father. And that relationship began before the foundation of the world. It's a relationship from eternity. It's a relationship characterized by love and adoration and praise. It is a relationship that then in this world is, well, frankly, the most important thing. Because out of that relationship comes everything else. The life of Jesus is a life marked by prayer. You have a memory verse in your bulletin. It comes from Isaiah 50. It talks about the morning by morning appointment with God. That's the pattern of Jesus' life of the soul. It is the morning by morning, setting everything else aside, getting back to the foundations, his time with his Father. That's from the beginning of his ministry. That is included in 40 days out in the wilderness in fasting and prayer. That is, Father, if it is not possible for this cup to pass from me, your will be done. That is, Father, forgive them. And Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. Isaiah 50, verse 4, the Lord God has given me the tongue of those who are taught. Really? And this is the amazing part. Jesus, who is the Son of God, Jesus, who is the second person of the Trinity, Jesus, who is God, goes and places himself under the Word of God, the tongue of those who are taught, and he awakens my ear to hear as those who are taught, places himself under the Word of God, so that taking in that Word of God, he may build everything else upon that foundation. He's not dazzled by success. He's not crushed by the persecution and the slander of the Pharisees and Sadducees. It's a life of prayer. It is a still spot, a quiet point that doesn't change even though the rest of the world swirls around, even through blessings and trials, through sickness and health. Doesn't even change walking through the valley of the shadow of death. That's the foundation, that relationship with his Father. And that is so tremendously important. I have one passage from a commentary that has become my favorite passage from commentaries. It says this: the tongue filled with the appropriate word for ministry is the product of the ear filled with the Word of God. Well, that's pretty good. And there's a little bit more for a little later. See, out of the relationship that is there in that foundation, that is there in prayer, that is there in his conversation with his Father, out of that comes everything else that happens in his ministry. Out of that relationship comes the taking Peter's mother-in-law by the hand and raising her up, and the fever left, and she waited on them. Out of that comes, they were bringing the sick and the demon-possessed, that those who were sick might be healed and those who were demon-possessed might be freed. And out of that relationship comes that you are called into a relationship with God. You. It comes from Jesus in prayer. Jesus in prayer, hearing the Word of God. Jesus in prayer, taking his place under that Word of God. Yeah. Remember how he answered the temptations in the wilderness? It was, but the Word of God says, but the Word of God says, over and over again. Taking his place, hearing that Word of God, being filled with the promises of the Scriptures. Then, from that hearing comes the speaking. Jesus, the Son of God, living under the Word of God. Quite an amazing thing. But, okay, he's the second Adam. Where Adam and Eve fell away from God, he is faithful. Little further step. Adam and Eve were there in the garden surrounded by blessings and turned away. And there's Jesus early in the morning while it was still dark, and he heads out to a desolate place. And there he prays. And where you and I, where we feel our spiritual life with its ups and downs and ups and downs, there is Jesus with the constant life of prayer all the way to the cross. Jesus with the constant life of prayer kneeling in the Garden of Gethsemane. Jesus with the constant life of prayer. My God, why have you forsaken me? There on the cross. And finally, on Easter morning, there he stands outside the tomb, and there he is with Mary Magdalene, showing himself as the Son of God and saying, go and tell my brothers, I ascend to my Father and your Father. And so he calls and draws and invites us into that relationship. Here's the other part from that quote, from that commentary. The morning by morning business of prayer is not a special provision or demand related to the perfect servant Jesus, but is the standard curriculum for all disciples. He calls us. He calls us morning by morning to prayer. Calls us to remember that with everything else that happens in this life, what is really the beginning of who we are, what defines us, is that we were created by God, and not simply to have life in this world and physical existence, not simply to be creatures, but to be those who walk with the Creator, those who have eternal life, those who have a fellowship with God that goes on and on and on to all eternity, those who share in God's blessings, those who share in life. That's what he gives us. So, this is the way that God will do it. And it will always be this way. It will always be means of grace. The Christ will pray, daily communing with his Father, hearing the word of God, hearing the promises of the Scripture, those words, those promises going into his ears, going into his soul. And when those things have gone into his ears and into his soul, he will teach. Ah. The Lord God has given me the tongue of those who are taught, that I may know how to sustain with a word him who is weary. See, the word of God coming into the ear then becomes the word of God coming out of the mouth. The word of God calling us in that relationship. That word of God then comes out of our mouths. As God puts us in places, sends us to people, exactly the right place, exactly the right time, exactly the right person who needs to hear that word of God that has first gone into our ears, first gone into our hearts, and then comes out of our mouths, so that the word of God and the promises of God may enter somebody else's ears. That's the pattern. And it is a pattern that is there in the life of Jesus. Okay. And then as he speaks that word of God, he doesn't leave it just spoken. That word of God is enacted. He does miracles. He does healings. He cares for the poor. He watches over those who are distressed. Even that's not enough. That word of God, that those promises of God, that love of God that is spoken in him and through him, that love of God has to have a destination. After all, he doesn't simply receive the word of God. He is the word of God. He is the word become flesh. and dwelling among us. He is the incarnate Word of God. And being the incarnate Word of God, he must live that promise of the love of God to its ultimate goal. He is the Word of God with hands and feet. Feet that go to Jerusalem, hands then that carry the cross, hands and feet that are nailed to the cross, and then bleeding and the dying and the tomb, and then the empty tomb on the third day, showing himself risen from the dead and ascending into heaven, and then one day returning for us. But that Word of God, that Word of God is something that calls to us morning by morning. And whether it is just a few minutes, 5 minutes in the morning when you first awake, or whether you have the opportunity to spend longer, 15 minutes, half hour, an hour with the Word of God, that Word of God entering into your ears and into your soul and into your heart then leads to things happening. It's always the way it is. The tongue filled with the appropriate word for ministry is the product of the ear filled with the Word of God. And so he sends us out into the world, and God takes words and puts them within us, and takes words and brings them out of our mouths. And as those things happen, as often as not, the Christian who watches it happen will say, "How'd that get arranged? How'd that happen that exactly the word that someone else needed to hear is the word that God spoke to me, and I was able to share it?" But that is how God will do it. In Jesus' name, amen.